friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Our man Daryl Ryder.
And he's brought to us by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Daryl, good morning to you.
Hello, boys.
Hello, Daryl.
Right, so I have not been traded, by the way.
Oh, just give it time.
Just wanted to throw that out there.
Give it time.
Not been traded. Don't give anyone any ideas, Jeffrey.
CBS.
Who would you like to be traded to?
CBSSports.com graded the Jacksonville-Cleveland trade and gave each team a B. Which kind of backs up what Andy and I said, because we kind of thought it looks like it's, and give us your thoughts, it looks like it's completely a financial type of thing. Browns might not have wanted to have paid Greg what he might get on the open market, and Campbell, they know what they're going to have to pay him, and Jacksonville's already paid most of it, and they're both pretty good corners. Yay? Yeah. Nay?
Yeah, I mean, look, if Campbell can come here and kind of recapture some of what has been missing a little bit for him this season, then yeah, it's a pretty good trade for the Browns. Look, this isn't a fire sale trade. I was seeing a little bit of that last night. No, they traded player for player. They traded a player that they did not want to have to pay in the form of an extension and was going to allow to go to free agency. And they brought in a guy who is under team control through 2028. So Campbell's going to be a part of this here, is this retooling process. So, you know, for the folks who are like, oh, this season isn't about winning and they're tanking and this, that, and that. Well, look, I'm not saying that that's not entirely false, but like this specific trade is not an indication of a fire sale or of them just throwing in the towel. They brought in a player who's going to be under team control for the next couple of years, who has a set salary at around $15 million average per year. Newsom probably was going to command a little north of that or in that ballpark, and the Browns clearly didn't value Newsom in that financial area. And, Andrew Berry's pretty good at scouting defensive backs here. So hopefully Campbell's able to come in here and contribute.
Should Andrew Berry speak the rest of this week? Should he come out? I've just made two trades. And there's two reasons why I say this. One, if you're going to make a trade, people want to know why. And if you're the general manager, you can step out there and let people know exactly what you think without having us trying to speculate what's going on. Like you just said, a fire sale. Two, I kind of think he's throwing his head coach under the bus to answer questions about the trade, and he's throwing his players under the bus because they're having to answer questions that I think people want to ask of the general manager. Do we need to hear from the general manager?
Yeah, I mean, I would not complain if Andrew made himself available for a couple of minutes today or tomorrow. Look, I don't think the Joe Flacco trade was positively received.
In the locker room or where?
Yeah. Okay. Jerry Jeudy told us yesterday, and I put it in my Brownie Bites YouTube feature. He basically said, yeah, I was surprised. Certainly caught me off guard. Wasn't expecting that. Now, unfortunately, Jerry's production is part of the reason that Joe got benched and, is now a Cincinnati Bengal. But, I don't know necessarily that trade was very well received within that locker room, but also at the same time, I think everybody understands when you're 1-4, we all know how this movie ends, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and you're going to Pittsburgh, and yeah, I'm one there in, I think 21 years, 2003, doing the quick math there. I think that's 21 seasons. So, in the regular season, I should say, I know they won the COVID playoff game. But I'm setting that aside. That trip, that bus ride in and of itself is a headache every year. So, I think this might be one of the toughest positions Kevin Stefanski finds himself in as far as trying to keep this thing together as they, they go through these growing pains.
Daryl Ryder joining us. So they've made three trades here, Daryl. And we can't forget about the Cam Robinson trade. In theory, the Cam Robinson trade is made to help this year's team and help the quarterbacks stay in one piece. The Flacco trade, they say, came out of nowhere and Joe had already been benched. And
well,
then
the
they
reason that came out, and also I just wanted to clarify something, Jeff, to be fair to the Browns here. You know, Stefanski told us yesterday the Bengals called them for Joe. So I do believe them, believe Kevin when he says, yeah, that came out of nowhere. I don't think that they were expecting the Cincinnati Bengals to call and ask for Joe Flacco.
Yeah, I would think that's true. That said, though, they didn't get a whole lot for him. You know, they moved up six, moved up some spots in the draft. That was about it.
Yeah. So, and getting something, anything for a guy who's not in your future is always a positive.
That is true. Now, here, this is what has me thinking. And you said what I'm thinking earlier, Darryl, when you said this is not a fire sale here. With that in mind, could this team this year be a buyer at the trade deadline? In other words, trade some of these late round picks. Hey, there's a wide receiver on this team that we think is going to be pretty good. Would you like a sixth round?
I know you're dying for them to trade for another wide receiver.
Well,
or
Darryl,
you're jonesing for. And look, based on what we've seen in the first 5 weeks, I don't blame you. Like, I mean, based on what we've seen,
sure.
I don't blame you. But
could it be an opportunity to buy and add some young talent to this team?
Sure. Depending on who's willing to sell to you. Not a lot of teams are willing to give up young talent.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Talent under control, right?
Yeah.
Let me rephrase. Quality young talent that's under team control, right? In theory, sure, what you say makes sense. Takes two to tango.
Yeah, I'm just wondering.
Yeah. I do think that there's one or two guys that could still be on the move before the trade deadline here. But it would be nice. And again, I think last night's trade with Jacksonville was a perfect example of, you know, Andrew Berry not only filling an immediate need, but also too, looking to the future, right? You move on from a player that you liked, but you weren't going to pay to bring in a guy that you like, and maybe could use a little bit of a change of scenery, and has already been paid and is going to be under contract for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And he's going to be your second corner opposite of Denzel Ward. I certainly expect, Andrew Berry, who has always been aggressive on the trade market. I don't know why folks are all of a sudden surprised that Andrew Berry's making some trades here. He's always made trades. It's what he does. And he tends to do pretty well when he makes trades. Like, let's also remember that he's got a very good resume when it comes to trades. So give this one a chance.
Darryl, all the talk about the quarterback situation here, and people really want to chime in on Shedeur Sanders. Like, some people can't understand why Shedeur wasn't clearly made the number two quarterback yesterday. Do you want to shed some light?
Or number one, even, Andy.
Yeah, all right, I'll give you that, too. Do you want to shed some light on this to let people know? Why do you think the Browns are not so willing to say on the day that they traded Joe Flacco that Shedeur Sanders is the number two?
Sure, I'll waste my breath for about 40 seconds.
Well, I'm just saying, but don't you think people, I know you
no,
feel like,
I know, but
I'm
people
saying
don't
the same thing.
It,
I'm looking at phone calls that people are, why, you know, what did Shedeur do wrong that he isn't the backup quarterback? Why isn't he the starting? Why does it look like Shedeur Sanders, that they just don't want him and blah, blah, blah?
I know. I mentioned this. I think I may have been with you, or maybe it was Jake last night. Listen, I'm not going to jump all over the Browns for how they're handling Shedeur Sanders, because I actually agree with how they're handling him. I understand his popularity. I understand he's a lightning rod. I understand he's got the diehard loyalists on social media and he can do no wrong, et cetera, et cetera. I get all that. And I also understand that he could potentially be a cash cow, especially if he ends up being a really good player. I like what the Browns are doing with him, bringing him along slowly. I don't think he's going to be QB2. I think it's going to be Bailey Zappe. And we went through yesterday the strategic reasons as to why it makes sense for them to take that approach. I certainly am not going to criticize them for bringing a guy along slowly when I have been at the front of the line yelling and screaming about them rushing guys and having to play guys too soon and too fast, right?
Right.
So I can't be a hypocrite there. So I have no objections to how the Browns are handling Shadur. And, you know, he is being asked to do a lot of stuff that he's never been asked to do before. And that's okay. That's not a criticism of anybody. That's just, you know, college and the National Football League are two dynamically different things. I like the fact that they're bringing him along. They want to make sure that when they put him on the field, he's going to be in a position to succeed. If anything, you buy yourself a couple more weeks to prepare him for that backup quarterback role, if in fact that's ultimately the route they decide to go. And then also let's keep in mind, they have a stretch of 5 and 7 weeks, they have 5 home games in 7 weeks coming up, November, December. And we know where this train is headed. And don't be surprised if you see Shadur Sanders start a couple of those so that maybe the stadium doesn't fill up with Bills and Steeler fans and things like that, right? Because fans are going to want to see this kid.
Entertainment.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, fans are going to want to see this kid play. So, like, I understand the passion and the love that fans have for Shadur. And I would just, I realize I'm asking people to be patient and trust the Browns and what they're doing when it's, you know, the results being what they've been, it's hard to trust and believe in what the Browns are doing. But in this case, I do really feel like they're doing the right thing. And you guys know me. If I didn't feel that way, I'd be all over them, okay? I'd be all over Kevin Stefanski. I'd be all over Andrew Berry and Tommy Rees and everyone else involved. But I really do think this is the right way to handle it. Bring this kid along slowly. Don't try and expect and ask too much of him. Similar to what they did with Dylan Gabriel. That was a very conservative game plan in London, right?
It was.
Now I want to see them open it up a little bit this week in Pittsburgh. Probably the wrong team to do that, right? Well, the turnovers they create. But, you know, I want to see some opportunities for Dylan to show us what he can do. As I like to say, got to take the training wheels off at some point and see if you can ride on the two tires. And, you know, in the next 2 weeks, I need to see that with Dylan Gabriel. I don't want to see conservative game plans with him because whether you win or lose becomes immaterial where you're at in the standings and record wise. Doesn't matter. You got to find out if this kid can do it. So get the training wheels off. Same thing with Shadur. He's going to start with the training wheels and then, okay, you'll eventually take the training wheels off and be able to make your evaluation as to whether or not you got something there.
Daryl, thank you, my good friend. Appreciate it.
What were you back, guys? Call? My what?
My sir. I was going to say sir, but sir. I came out the wrong way.
Hey, I have been called much, much worse.
See you on Brownie Bites. I'll get dressed this week. Peace.
All right, sounds good.
All right.
Hey, friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.